This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up here a little bit later on, we have got a Democrat of the Day coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. State Senator Melissa Wickland will join us, as well as your phone calls. And it's a Friday. I'll be doing some dancing. I found a great song for that. That's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And if you're asking, dancing, Matt, this is radio. This is just the beginning of the stupidity. 952-946-6205. Patrick's back. Hi, Patrick. How are you, my friend?
I'm back, and I'm sorry, listeners.
You know you're listening to a quality product when we start off with an apology. Oh, sweet Lord. Let's just get this out of the way right now. Oops, our bad. Actually, no. I'm very proud of this little product here. I do have it. I mean, as I get these new stations, and we got a brand new one where we're broadcasting in Oshkosh, and then you said it's Berlin, right?
Yes, that's correct. Berlin.
It's like Nevada and Nevada. You know, there's a Nevada, Iowa, and of course, everyone says Nevada, and they say, nope, that's not right. Berlin. All right. We've got new stations out there. I'll get to that here in a little bit. Let me take a few moments here to introduce you. Yes, I'm a big old progressive. I'm an Army veteran, married, 3 kids, live in the Twin Cities suburb area. Liberal. I became a liberal. I actually voted for Republicans even into this century, into like 2000, 2002. But when you send military troops into a country under false pretenses, that's where you lost me. And let's just face it, it's been a cavalcade of just crap fest ever since from the GOP. So I had no problem. I turned around and I never looked back because And it's gotten to the point now where you can't trust any Republican politician, because as much as they say, I'm a moderate, as much as they say that, the reality is they're not really. And they follow the orders of the marching orders of the most far right people within their local constituency, whether it's their the local, you know, Senate leader or House leader or Assembly leader, or it's, you know, some wealthy group out of the state, that's who they are. I just don't trust them. So you'll notice one of the things will happen is let me talk to all the Republicans out there that are like, wait till I call you and set you straight. Good times. Anyway, I'm gonna just save your time. I very rarely will allow a conservative to go on and on and on my show. Not because I'm trying to, I'm scared of you. Oh, please. No. Modern Republicans think debate is kicking open your door, going to the bathroom in the middle of your floor in your living room, looking at it, pointing at it with a smile on their face and saying, you have to like it. And no, I don't. And I'm not going to let you into the house because I can see you're already reaching for your belt buckle. And I don't have any. There is no point. There's no valid reason. And one of the truth is, even if you guys weren't just human form, I would have a real hard time letting you on just because. How many conservative radio stations are there in this country? Go talk to them. I get it. You feel like I'm making a stand for the Republican. No, you sound like an idiot. And I'm not going to let you go on and on and on. I mean, I know that you come on here. When I first started on this radio station years ago, we used to have this guy that called in who would go, first of all, Jimmy Carter was an alien creature. Second of all, FDR was a robot man. And, you know, he'd go through these things. And he'd do like six or seven of those. But the main reason I wanted to talk was this. And the guys that used to host the show before I did wouldn't go back and say, wait a minute here. No. Let's go back to the alien creature thing. Let's go. We'll get to the rest of your insanity bomb there. But let's go back to the beginning of what you just said and talk about that. And when the first time the guy called in and tried that with me, I said, stop, you're lying. And he's like, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You are. Just go away. We have so few progressive radio stations in this country. And I have been doing progressive radio now for, 12 and a half years. When I started on my station, it was an Air America station. And what I have seen was, you know, far-right corporations buying up radio stations, shutting them down, or putting on the fourth or fifth tier sports network in any given market just to basically get progressive radio off the air. I know of a story here in town where there's a certain station owner who basically, when we showed up in the ratings, basically called up the Nielsen ratings company and said, if they ever show up in the ratings again, I'll never have you rate my stations. I mean, that kind of thing. That's at least the story I heard. You know, there's just not much of this. And so is there a lot of valid reasoning behind having some dim bulb conservative who thinks that he's smart and clever? Let me tell you something. No, you don't. There's nothing. No, you don't have to tell me anything. I read a lot. I read a lot of news sites, not opinion sites that validate a far right mentality. And I know my stuff. Trust me, if I didn't, I would be getting hammered. I would. Every time I say something, heck, the left comes at me every time I say something that's not correct. My goodness. They're the more vicious. Man, I have to take issue with what you just said. That you just said something that's just not right. All right. Fair enough. And here is something you will never hear on a conservative radio outlet ever. Sometimes I will say I was wrong. Ta-da! Poi. It didn't make me a weaker human being. It actually made me more of a human being, you know? Kind of one of those things. So I am somewhat hesitant to give conservatives too much time on this show because, frankly, as much as it's fun to hear me just bandy these guys around, it still is wasting your time listening to them. Is that a good way to say it? And I understand there's some people out there that's like, wow, that's a horrible thing. No, I have conservative friends who can debate, who will look at me and say, I'm an old school Reagan Republican, fiscally conservative, socially liberal. This is not my Republican Party. That will honestly say, I'm still a Republican, but I don't vote for Trump. We can have a discussion on funding of school boards or health and human services or transportation. We can talk about that stuff. But when these people, let me tell you why the Democrats are the Demoncrats. Got a zinger there. Did you hear that? Oh, yes. It was brutal. Brutal. I'm wounded. We have to, this hour that you share with me is sacred. It is. It is something, because most of you won't ever hear media like this, the devil guys, the devil radio guys after me, some of the other shows here, there's only a handful of us left. And we're out here telling you the truth every single day. Talk to the devil advocate folks. I guarantee you, if they say something wrong, they get hammered. We have to be honest. We have to do our research. We have to be on top of things. And that's my promise to you, is I will do the best I can. But I'm not going to waste your time. If you want to go listen to delusional loonbag rightos scream, well, there's tons of radio stations that have that on there. And they basically wrap themselves in that, and bon appetit, off you go. It's the same way I don't talk a lot about sports. Not that I don't follow sports. My fantasy football team, for the fourth week in a row, I've had a great week. Second highest point total in the league. 4 weeks in a row, I played the guy that had the most points in the league. I'm like leading in total points in the league, and I'm 0-4. Oh, it's brutal. And my own son beat me last week, but like a drum too. I can talk sports. I like all the sports. Love hockey. Love baseball. Those are my two main ones I like the most. I talk football, talk basketball. But the reality isn't in your market, don't you already have like five or six sports people out there? And frankly, most of them are probably better at talking sports than I am. I have no problem with that. Stay in my own lane. I stay in my own lane. Doesn't mean I don't have a few good takes, and I could do a pretty decent baseball show. Maybe even a decent hockey show. But now I generally look at this as an opportunity to talk with people who are like-minded, give you information, give you the confidence, give you reassurance that you are on the right path, that the progressive way of thinking, the liberal way of thinking, the democratic way of thinking is the right way of thinking. You are thinking of yourself and the fellow man as opposed to Republicans who only think about themselves. And that is the difference. That is the difference. Republicans only think about themselves. They're selfish, greedy jackasses. That's the modern one. Hey, take a look at their party. Matt, you're a little harsh. Take a look at where their party's gone in the last 20 years. It's a freaking nightmare. But I believe in, I don't know, and I'll share a little bit more with me, Christian principles. I do. I believe in helping your fellow man, caring for your fellow man, making sure everyone has food and shelter and health care. You know, stuff. And, that whole, welcoming in strangers from strange lands, that's a big one for me, too. So, that's where I'm at. Welcome. I hope you like this. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. It's the Matt McNeil Show. On Lake Air, WXCE 1260 in Amory, WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, the Shaw in Waukesha, Milwaukee, and our brand new affiliate, Air Support Radio 98.3 Oshkosh and 1100 AM WISS in Berlin. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good to have you with us today. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I do hope you get the chance to get out and look at the fall colors at some point. It's cold here in the Twin Cities right now. I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is cool here in the Twin Cities, but the leaves in this town right now are the best I have seen in years. Spectacular, Patrick.
Absolutely. That's actually what I spent my few days off doing, was chasing colors up the North Shore. If you live in northern Minnesota, or have the ability to go to northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, or the UP of Michigan along Lake Superior, go now. It's peak. You better get up there now.
It's gorgeous up there. Just gorgeous. And so just using our, they're on the same kind of line as we are. I'm going to guess Eau Claire North right now is where your prime is. If you're Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, kind of in that area. Anytime you get by the lakes, it's going to be a little cooler. So you might have, stretching down the lake a little bit there on Michigan. But if you get the chance, I'm guessing it's because it's been so dry up here in the Twin Cities. It's been really dry up here. That's why it's spectacular. But I was out in Colorado 2 weeks ago, and everyone was like, "Oh, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous in Colorado. You got to see the fall leaves." It's like they're nothing compared to Wisconsin, Minnesota. And granted, if you've never been to Vermont, New Hampshire, holy God. Is that beautiful? As a matter of fact, that's where I actually honeymooned with my wife years ago, was in New Hampshire. And we were on the beginning. We were early for leaf season, and it was still just stunning how pretty it was up there. Unbelievable. But Wisconsin, Minnesota, they do great. We got gorgeous color here on a lot of years. Sometimes not so good. Sometimes it just kind of goes that yellow to the brown and done. But get out and enjoy it this year, because at least it sure does look like it's great. And this is one of the best parts about fall, I think, is just the color show that we get with the reds and the oranges and the yellows and the gorgeous soft browns and pumpkins and, yes, apples. Have I mentioned the apples? Of course I've mentioned the apples. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Speaking of that, how'd you like those apples there, Republican? On Thursday night's Senate debate in Arizona, Democratic Senator Mark Kelly cornered his GOP opponent, Blake Masters. For, by the way, Blake Masters, is that a fake name? I mean, is that really his name? It's like I asked an artificial intelligence unit to come up with a bad soap star name. Blake Masters. Yeah, there you go. He cornered his GOP opponent, Blake Masters, for supporting extreme abortion bans, a belief that Masters had previously tried to soften on his website after public outrage over the Supreme Court allowing states to ban the procedure. Reminder, pretty much every Republican you know, every single one of them, was, we're going to stop all abortions until late June. And all of a sudden it was, hey, where did you get the idea I was an extremist, horrible human being? From, well, you. How dare you listen to what I said about myself? This is Blake Masters. I am pro-life. I believe in limits, said Masters. I think we should be like every civilized country in the world. Just last year, Arizona passed a law that limits abortions after 15 weeks. I support that law. That is where Arizonans find a reasonable place to draw the line. I prefer limits at the federal level. Lindsey Graham has proposed a 15-week limit with common exceptions. I support that. I believe in limits. Mark Kelly believes in no limits at all. Now, reminder, I believe it's Arizona. They had a state law from a long time ago kick in where that 15-week ban no longer is it. I don't believe it's legal at all in the state of Arizona. And the Arizona Republicans are trying desperately to look. And I to a point, I think that their argument is, well, we're not the extremists. That would be nothing at all. We're for 15 weeks. No, not really. I mean, a lot of them are. They're basically saying this now, but that I'm going to get the impression they're not going to do anything to address the state laws there. By the way, Kelly kind of smacked back. That is nonsense, said Kelly. This is absolutely not true. I support the restrictions and protections that were allowed under Roe v. Wade. An abortion only happens late in pregnancy when there are serious issues. And folks, it is heartbreaking when this happens. Often the child is wanted. And this is, if I can bring up something here that the Republicans have been able to run with, is this idea that women are carrying babies to the 7th and 8th month. And then all of a sudden saying, I don't want this anymore. That is just absolute garbage. It is an absolute lie. And it's and you see, it is unfortunate it has taken the loss of Roe v. Wade for Democrats to refine their voice on this issue. But for years, Democrats cowered when stuff like that was said. And you have to like, no. Wait, are you saying that there is a lot of women that carry a baby for 8 months and then just sort of say, I'm done now? No, that doesn't happen. And the vast majority of the time that this has to happen, if it does happen, there is a serious complication, either to the life of the mother or to the child, that there is no other option. It's heartbreaking and emotionally destroying. And you act as if that woman is gleefully doing it. You're horrible human beings. Let's just make sure we always say that. Horrible. My opponent, remember what he has said, said Kelly. He supports a national abortion ban. It criminalizes this decision, he has said. And this is not years ago. This is very recently. He wants to punish the doctors. He has called abortion demonic, religious sacrifice. I don't even know what that means, folks. But what I'm doing is I am protecting your constitutional rights that you have lost because of rhetoric like this. Really quickly, where do you draw the line at late-term abortions, asked the host, trying to, I think, to get Kelly in a gotcha. But Kelly absolutely masterfully responded, under Roe v. Wade, there are protections and restrictions that were allowed under the law, said Kelly. And late-term abortion in this country only happens when there is a serious problem. And you know what? That is what I support. What he says about the legislation I voted on is just not true. It is nonsense. You should go back and take a look and read this. I mean, he's a lawyer. This is legislation. He can go back and take a look at it. Well done. Well done. And that's the truth, is that Republicans are, they expect you to be stupid about these things. They don't want you to actually think to yourself for a second. It's like, how are these women who have 8 months pregnant, now they just don't want the baby? Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Exactly. I've had friends who have lost kids late, where the child has unfortunately and sadly and tragically died in the womb. Under Republican plans, she would not be able to get rid of that child, as you know, in some cases. That there is such murkiness and such lack of clarity in some states in this country, that person is going to be told, well, you got to keep it in there until it comes out on its own, or else you need to get the governor and the Republican leaders of the state, they need to sign off on it, and then we'll think about it after we go to the Supreme Court. That's where these people are at. I believe in women's rights. I believe that women should have the choices, and that is the country I believe in. I'll talk more about this when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance, throw the run on.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life.
Broadcasting all along the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Now, if you don't mind, I want to go on a bit of a rant. Because, once again, it's a segment I like to call, I Was Right. That's right. I was right. Now, once again, a little bit more information about me, especially if you're listening into the new markets over in Amory and Oshkosh and Berlin. Here's about me. One of the things you'll discover about me, I'm Christian. Yes, I am.
That's not right. He's a Democrat. That can't be the case.
Oh, I am. You funny man. And guess what? I know my Bible pretty well. I do. I have been very disappointed that the religion in this country has moved in the direction it has, to where it's not about Jesus Christ. It's about Republican Party politics. And Jesus basically being, you know, kind of a token figure, like, you know, I guess Count Chocula at Halloween, that it's just, oh yeah, it's easy to say Jesus, and they throw out some kind of, we're going to tax the poor. Jesus would have wanted us to do that. And you're like, no, that was not on there. And I don't necessarily criticize the Democrats for failing on this one, because I think this was a concerted effort. And what Republicans were doing was telling religious leaders, we will give you a position at the table of decision in political power if you basically bow down to us and recognize us as a divine entity that the politics were. I, for many years, was Catholic, and my wife and I married in a Catholic church. Kids went through confirmation, communion, all that stuff, first communion with the Catholic church and stuff. And I went through some, you know, obviously some tough times within the Catholic church. I mean, it was, I'll never forget, you know, like I've said before, I was in the church and I remember looking around when the child sex abuse scandal happened, and all of a sudden there's about one third of the people in the church that were there before. And although some people did eventually come back, it was never at the numbers it used to be. But we stayed. And the reason I stayed at that point was because the church leaders we had at our church, I was convinced, had nothing to do with this, didn't know about it, were just as broadsided and shocked and dismayed and disgusted as anyone else was. And that was hard. We in 2012, we had a Republican effort here in the state of Minnesota to put an anti-gay marriage language in the state constitution. And it was very difficult to watch the archdiocese at that time, Neinstedt, to basically lead the charge of what was, you know, anti-gay hate. that they somehow were lesser human beings, that they didn't deserve the same rights as anyone else. And I was really disturbed by that. It wasn't, you know, universal in the church. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of people in our church, particularly. I went to a fairly liberal Catholic church when I was going to Catholic church, that would come in and were very much the opposite of what he was saying. It was the leadership that was there that was a big part of it. For me, when my wife and I left, what it was finally when there's a group within the Catholic Church, the Conference of Catholic Bishops, and these are the American bishops. And when Joe Biden was nominated as president, I mean, this was just blatant political pandering. They basically decided they were going to punish him because he was a Democrat. Only the second Catholic ever to become president of the United States. And the Catholic Church's first goal was to punish him and vilify him. And that was disgusting. And not only that, and it was because he basically followed what the founding fathers had put forward, a separation of church and state, that you can have your religious beliefs, but that should not be the dictating cause of your political beliefs. You should not impose your religious point of view on others. That's clear that the founding fathers did not want that, as much as Republicans insist, we're a Christian nation. No, we're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be. They went after him, and they tried their hardest to nuance this, saying, we're not going after Joe Biden specifically. We just need to put in rules in place on who can and who cannot get communion if you are the president of the United States and you're not the most anti-abortion person that's out there. The problem with that, their argument, was during the breaks – that when they were having this conference to talk about this issue, archbishops were running out to talk to the media, and the first words out of their mouth almost every time were, well, I can tell you my congregation is really, really angry at Joe Biden. This is about Joe Biden. And frantically, the leadership of the Conference of Catholic Bishops was trying to say, no, it's not about anyone specifically, but their bishops were running out and basically saying, yep, Joe Biden. It was about Joe Biden. And I went and talked to my priest about this, and he basically said we weren't the only ones who had enough, that other people had left. And he'd said, he had told me at that point, he goes, I don't know where this Catholic Church is going right now. He says, you look at the seminaries, you look at the priests that are coming up, and they're indoctrinated into this far right extremist mentality. And it showed. And one of the things I said about this whole thing, and I've said this before on the show, is I don't understand what the Catholic Church was trying to do. Did they think that Baptists were going to say, hey, I like how they're going after Joe Biden, I'm going to stop being Baptist and become Catholic? No, that's not how it happens. Atheists were surely not going to all of a sudden go, well, I guess I misunderstood the Catholics, I'm going to go join them. No, that's not how it is. And it sure wasn't going to help them in, say, third world countries or, in missionary outreaches across the globe. It's no one cares about what Joe Biden is. This was just basically politics. And in a lot of it, is the benefactor of the each individual church, who generally is this far-right Republican that wanted Republican policies dictated from the pulpit. All right? And I'd finally had enough. Now, just FYI, for your knowledge out there, we have found a new church. It's Lutherans. They're a hoot, and I like them a lot. I've been enjoying going to the Lutheran church. It's been very enjoyable and welcoming and non-judgmental. And yeah, you know, Jesus-y. Now, I do have a disclaimer that you will hear me say on a regular basis, okay? You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. When I talk about religion, I'm not trying to convert anyone. I'm just explaining my position, okay? So you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do, all right? Good. A few years ago, I wrote on the blog Progressive Citizen X about abortion. And I am about to surprise some people out there. Personally, I'm against it. Personally. Now, it only goes as far as me because that's just me. And no, I don't, because I'm married, have authority over my wife. Dear Lord, she'd kick my ass. Dear, are you kidding? No, God, no. I have my own thoughts individually. And I can tell you one thing, I am not for banning abortion. And the reason why is simple, is because I never trusted the Republican Party to ever really want to ever, you know, make it legal. They didn't want to. This was not about, you know, protecting babies. It was stopping certain people from being able to have the decision, the choice to make it. They have no problem. And this is the thought process I had long before Herschel Walker's scandals came up. But I said, there's just too many Republicans that have mistresses and girlfriends on the side. They want to be able to have an abortion on point. And plus the fact that you have to remember that the benefactors of the Republican Party, the people that are paying the money for the Republican Party, they don't want to have to fly to a different state or to Canada to get an abortion when their little Susie decides to go do the horizontal bop with someone. They want to be able to walk into their own local healthcare facility and get an abortion, period. Which is why I'd said, if you ever did get abortion made illegal, in the states where it was truly illegal, there would overnight be a brand new healthcare facility that would open up in the wealthy white Republican parts of that state, which performed anti-babyoscopies, which the Republicans would scream, well, that's not an abortion, even though it's an abortion. But they would insist that's okay because it's wealthy white Republicans getting them and, you know, Republican politician mistresses and girlfriends getting them, not just the regular person. And I said that, you know, there's a lot of problems here. The Republican Party wants to get rid of abortions, but they don't want to do anything for, you know, these children that are going to be born. They don't want to feed them. They don't want to shelter them. They don't want to give them clothes. They don't want to give them health care. They don't. And by the way, all those things Jesus told us to do. I know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you should read it. It's a hoot. He wants us to feed the hungry, take care of the sick, shelter the homeless, and welcome in strangers from strange lands. Clothe the naked. He wants us to do these things. And yet the Republicans who claim to be Christian apparently don't have the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Luke in their Bible. They got tons of Leviticus and Paul's letter to the Romans. Oh, gosh, that one's in big, bold print in both of their Bibles. But the actual story of Jesus, the man that makes Christians Christian, Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's very clear on some things. What he never said anything about at all was abortions. Not once. And it wasn't like abortions were going on back then in ancient times. Of course they were. It was a fairly common practice. As a matter of fact, I think it's in Numbers. They describe an abortion in Numbers in the Bible. It is in there. I know. And as well, he never mentioned anything about gay people. You know, Jesus, you know, he celebrated a marriage, but that didn't necessarily mean he was against gay marriage. He never once criticized gay people or lesbians. All my best. But this is, the Republicans want you to believe that that's doctrine within the religion. It's not. Religion, Christianity is supposed to be about love, welcoming, peace, compassion. Not about, here's who you need to hate. And that's why I left the Catholic Church when they were telling me, who you need to hate is Joe Biden. And they were. I got into a big debate with a Republican friend of mine. It was a radio host up here in town, very big conservative, very religious guy. And he and I used to be friends for a long time, and he doesn't talk to me anymore because he insisted I was crazy when I suggested when the Republicans make abortion illegal, it will not, they will almost immediately show their hypocrisy and they'll have no problem with Republicans getting abortions. It will just be for everyone else. And he was livid with me. How dare you, Matt McNeil? How dare you? And he did. He blocked me in all these things. Republican Party, through their fixing of the Supreme Court, makes Roe v. Wade illegal in the United States, overturns it. the very first chance they have to prove I am wrong is Herschel Walker, a man who, as he screams that abortion should never be legal for any woman, has actually paid for a woman to get an abortion. A woman that he initially claimed he didn't know, but now we find out he has a second child with that woman that he has. That he does know her. That this is pure hypocrisy. It is the first chance for the Republicans, every single one of them, not just the politicians, but all your friends who have been constantly inundating your social media pages and inboxes for decades about abortion, for them to come on out and say, I'm not a hypocrite, this is wrong. And what have they said? Nothing. They have said nothing at all. The silence is deafening because it's exactly as I said it was going to be. They don't care. As a matter of fact, you have one of the conservative hosts actually making the point that she doesn't care if he's had paid for abortions. She just wants to win the Senate seat. So once again, they're all hypocrites. And once again, I was right. Again. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Broadcasting live on locally grown radio WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM Wisconsin Rapids Stevens Point, Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, and Bull Falls Radio WXCO 98.9 FM 1230 AM in Wausau, as well as here on the flagship on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. No, I was right. They don't care. And and the most important thing I want you to take away from that is how many of your friends, conservative friends or family members, have always posted on Facebook or Twitter or Insta or TikTok or whatever, or sent you email after email after email, who haven't said a thing about Herschel Walker, who not only, by the way, is the absolute poster child for irresponsible parenting, has children with women all over the place as he's in, marriages and stuff like that, doesn't seem to care or want to visit them, but it's that the fact that they themselves insisted for years that no one should have an abortion, and then they find out that one of their own had one, and the first thing you'd think would be coming out of their mouth would be, I'm sorry, you need to stand aside. Warnock's going to win this race. We're not going to support you. But they can't. It's not that they're being quiet. They're outright supporting him. He's our guy. He's our hero. He's the one that's going to do it. The same people who make up these outrageous stories about women who are 8 months pregnant who just all of a sudden decide, I don't want this baby anymore, which is just ludicrous, who will badmouth and degrade anyone, who will tell women there has never been a medical reason for an abortion. Never. Who basically will try to prosecute women or doctors that try to help women get basic health care. The same Republicans who want to outlaw contraception. The same Republic. Well, that's not for everyone. Of course, they'll have their protection. That will be Republicans' protection. That's what this is really about. We need to step back and understand how truly broken the Republican Party has become. And it's in there. This is why I think just tying this whole hour together, you go back, why do I not have any time for a Republican caller? Because you guys don't make any damn sense. You have no integrity. You're massive hypocrites. You're bankrupt. That's why. That is why you destroy Christianity just to support your politics. You make a laughing stock of our government just to support your politics. You try to overthrow the government to support your politics. Story out there where the, according to a new book, Republican Party leadership worked behind the scenes with Donald Trump's legal team during both his impeachments. Politico's Rachel Blade in the Washington Post, Karen Demajian, reported that Senator Cruz warned his GOP colleagues that there was no doubt by anyone in the Senate that the former president had engaged in at least one impeachable offense. This is Ted freaking Cruz, a methed out Muppet that's been shaved. Almost. Ugh. That is a naughty, pleasant-looking beard. Yeah. A man who, when his own state was having a crisis of energy, tried to flee to Cancun. That guy. He says that everyone in the Senate knew that Donald Trump had committed at least one impeachable offense. But what happened? I can tell you exactly what happened. After Nixon, the Republicans vowed to never hold a Republican accountable ever again. Even if they were eating another human being and it was caught live on camera, their whole argument was, well, who hasn't been a little peckish? You know, that's, you know, he's getting his fill. Never mind. I'm sorry. But that's who they are. There's no integrity with these people anymore, because the only thing that matters to them is their party. The country doesn't matter. Their religion, it doesn't matter. I have made this point about Republicans, and I will stand by this till the day I die. The modern Republican could walk into their house, find Donald Trump sleeping with their spouse, and the first words out of their mouth will be, damn Democrats. You know, that is who they are. They have no integrity left. None. And it shows. None of this is about everyone. It's about creating a class-tiered system where Republicans and conservatives get a certain type of lifestyle in the United States, and the Democrats, liberals, minorities, the poor, they get a different one. That's what this is about. In the book Unchecked, Untold Stories Behind Congress's Botched Impeachments of Donald Trump, Blade documents GOP squabbles behind the scenes over the defense of the strategy, with Senator Lindsey Graham once storming out and exclaiming, we're blanked, we are blanked. He didn't say blank. In his report on Behind the Scenes book, Huffington Post Iger Bobek writes that the during Trump's visit first trial over a quid pro quo phone call to Ukraine President Zelensky seeking dirt on Joe Biden before the 2020 presidential election, Republican senators battled over strategy and fought over a proposal from attorney Alan Dershowitz. According to the Huffington Post report, former law professor Dershowitz, a lawyer for Trump, went so far as to argue before the entire Senate that Trump could have done whatever he wanted to get himself reelected if he believed that his own reelection would be in the public interest, a sweeping claim of executive power, a proposal that alarmed a number of Republican senators who sat in the chamber for weeks as jurors in the impeachment trial. After Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri insisted Trump's legal team fire Dershowitz immediately, Cruz suggested it was time to change tactics while advising his colleagues there was still a universal belief the Senate that Trump was guilty. According to the book, Cruz told his colleagues, out of 100 senators, you have zero who believe that there was no quid pro quo, none. There's not a single one, a confession which Bobek had was contrary to what Republicans were saying in interviews at the time of the impeachment trial. They knew. They didn't care. And, you know, fine, behind the scenes, you hear that Republicans are like, what are you talking about? A president can't do anything as long as they believe it's going to get them, you know, it'd be in the best interest of the country to get them reelected. You can't do that. But this is where they're at. And considering about 200 Republicans right now who are running for office are election deniers, who are people who just do not want to look at reality for what reality is. that they basically want their version of the world to exist, we should be scared. But the reality is the only way you're going to solve this is to vote. Every Democrat votes. Devil's Radio up next for the Wisconsin folks, hour two in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Hour two of the show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. I got some dancing to do a little bit later on. Ooh, I got a good song for you too, Patrick. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Joining me right now is the Democrat of the day. Senator Melissa Halverson Wickland is kind enough to join us. She's going to be changing numbers. I believe you've been Senate District 50, but you're not about to be Senate District 51, correct?
Yes, that's right. And thank you, Matt, for having me on your show today. Yes, I represent Bloomington and Richfield in Senate District 50. And now I'm running for the state Senate in Senate District 51, which will be part of Bloomington, all of Richfield, and then a small part of Minneapolis as well.
Well, and you got the airport in there as well, kind of give you a better idea.
Yes,
and
the airport.
Well, it's a fine airport. Actually, you know what? You and I are going to spend some time talking about how gorgeous your district is to go hiking in. I, of course, when the pandemic came down, I was going out and doing hikes. And I got to tell you, going down on that riverside there on your district, over off on in your Senate district now, some of the fall colors down there are as good as you will find anywhere. It is spectacular.
Yeah, it really is. And the Old Cedar Bridge restoration that was done during my time in the Senate, and that's a really great place for people to go hiking. There's many trails from there. And along with the beautiful leaves, there are just tons of birds that fly through that the Minnesota Valley Wildlife Refuge, and it's a fantastic place for hiking and bird watching as well.
Well, and I've been down on Longmeadow Lake down there, a bit of a hill. I'm not going to
deny. Yeah,
it's a bit of a hill to get down there, but you could spend easily the day. And as a matter of fact, you brought up the way to get around there. You do the old Cedar Avenue Bridge, go down there, park down there. That way you don't have to go up and down the hill. But you can go pretty much, they've got a great trail there that runs right on the riverside. It really is great. I've really enjoyed spending time over there because I never realized how great that area was just for natural beauty.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's amazing setting in an urban area to have a beautiful, not wilderness, but it's really got a lot of wildlife assets and just tons to see. And then the trail system that goes all the way from there all the way to the other end of Bloomington, actually. So you can go on a full day hike if you want.
That would be a full day hike. Senator, you have been in the Senate since 2012. You are currently the minority leader on the Health and Human Services Finance and Policy Committee in the Senate here. Talk a little bit, first of all, about the last session and where have you been at? Anything that you felt good about? Any frustrations that you've had?
Well, it certainly was started out with a lot of hopefulness, and I was hopeful that we would be able to use the surplus to make a big difference for a lot of Minnesotans. And it was really frustrating to get to the end of the session and have the Health and Human Services finance bill, not move forward, and the Senate Republicans unable to get work out, the differences with the House. And I think we made a little progress. We made some progress on mental health and had one bill that was very good and put some money towards some really absolutely necessary mental health programs. But where we could have taken action with the surplus we had to really make a difference for people who care for our elders and in long-term care settings and people who care for Minnesotans with disabilities, and people who care for our children in all the different kinds of child care settings, we could have made a huge difference in their lives and increased their wages, but that didn't get done, and that is really a frustrating was very frustrating for me.
You brought up mental health issues. Rural Minnesota is in a health mental health crisis right now. There's not enough, you know, medical professionals out there. The infrastructure needed to deal with the health crisis, whether that's at schools or whether in the communities, is just not there. The professionals are overwhelmed with cases at this point. You know, this is something that affects a lot of Republican Senate districts. Yet, you know, there doesn't seem to be any urgency whatsoever by the Republicans to deal with this, because obviously it's not just a crisis here in the Twin Cities and Duluth, Rochester, but I mean, it's everywhere in the country for that matter. But in rural America, it's a real nightmare because they just don't have the mental health professionals on the ground they need. They could have helped fix this. Did you talk to any of them about this?
Yes, we had some conversations about it. Yes, you know, it is a topic that there's discussion about different approaches, and I think, you know, we need to work on developing the workforce, and that means, you know, putting money into our educational part of our system to help people become mental health professionals. We also need to make sure that we're paying the rates that professionals, you know, need to be able to get along providing these services. And I think that's an area we haven't seen much action on, making sure that our reimbursement rates are adequate for providers. Mm-hmm. And then I think the system is just, it hasn't been built, our mental health system hasn't been built in a way that is meeting the needs of all the Minnesotans that need access. So it's something that we do need to continue to work on and put more resources into, and, you know, thoughtful policies to make sure people have access to the services they need.
You talk about, you know, you bring this up on your webpage, and you talked about this before, is that COVID, you get the pandemic exposed a lot of problems in the system. Here we are, mm-hmm. 2+ years later, and you've got burnt out doctors, burnt out nurses, you know, a hospital system, which is basically, you know, it's you know, at some points cavitating. It's still having a hard time recovering from what it went through out there. When you approach mm-hmm. a policy point of view on something like this, I mean, obviously making sure we you know, help out the industry, whether that's the hospitals or, you know, the companies are, you know, helping take care of people. You mentioned long-term care, elderly care as well. But how do you address this? Because this is, to a point, it's a new problem. We've not had with our modern medical industry a crisis of this nature in almost 100 years. And so it's got to be interesting and somewhat, to a point, intimidating to have to address some of these issues that are coming to light because of the pandemic.
Yeah, and I think you can see, you know, with the past, the organization of the nurses and the strike a few weeks ago, that they have great concerns with, you know, it's not only being paid a wage that's commensurate with the work they do, but it's also the working conditions and having enough people on during their shifts to be safe. And those are things that definitely we need to address. I think one aspect that I am focusing on that is kind of underlies some of the issues that we're seeing is that people today are not able to find, you know, childcare providers that meet their parents' needs and are affordable. And I think that the government can play a role in really helping in this area and helping parents be able to find and access care, you know, by ensuring that providers are being paid, you know, a living wage. Right now, people who work in child care settings are only making, you know, $12, $13 an hour, and it just simply isn't enough to live on or compete with other work that they could find that, you know, pays more. So I think if we're able to use, you know, our government funding and policies to help undergird the childcare system, I think that would go a long ways to helping parents or helping the adults be able to go to work and, you know, be available to take on, you know, more positions where we have shortages in our society right now, and that could be healthcare and other settings.
State Senator Melissa Halverson-Wicklund, kind enough to join us. Senate District 50, soon to be Senate District 51. You bring that up. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. It's because now we're getting not only in healthcare, parent care, parental, you know, looking out for your kids, but also the change in how our economics are working, where people, you know, they're just, you know, it's less expensive for them to quit and just stay home and watch their kids as opposed to work. You really do have a complex issue that, I mean, and once again, this is not a metro area issue. We just had Reed Olson, who's running for a House seat up in 2A yesterday, up in the Bemidji area, heading up towards Angle Inlet. And he was talking about you can't find a daycare up here. This is, once again, you've got this budget surplus. This is truly an undeniable need statewide. What when you were dealing with the Republicans, what was their mentality when it came to something like this? Because it once again, we don't have a solution from the Republican-led Senate at this point.
Right. Yeah, I think the approach and the some of the feedback I get is that, you know, we can't afford to put you know, our state money into this area. And I think we can't afford not to put money into this area to help parents in their first or their child's first years of life. We know how important those years are for care and for learning, and it's really not possible for us to ignore that. You know, parents need help, and we can make a difference with the surplus we have and ongoing funding. We do need to put more funding into the child care system.
You've been a champion as well of affordable prescription drugs. Duh. There used to be once again another easy layup for everyone, but it has become more and more of a battlefield. You know, I don't think we should have people who have to choose between food and life. I don't think, right. You know, it's, you know, starving for a day or getting the medicine that they need. These are not decisions we should have in supposedly the wealthiest and strongest economy on the planet.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm proud of, you know, work I did, not this session, but the previous session. I was an author of the Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act, and we implemented a program that provides access to low-cost insulin for people who are in emergency need and also ongoing, you know, can't afford to get their insulin. We need to do a lot more in this area of prescription drug pricing, because, like you say, no one should be rationing their insulin or you know, losing their lives, like Alex Smith's life was lost due to the high cost of a prescription drug. I'm glad that we have the program, but it's definitely an area where we need to work more on drug affordability. We have proposed things like a drug affordability board to help get at rising costs or rising prices, and I hope to continue to work on that issue next session.
We have, of course, a debate going on right now. I mean, the DFL in the state of Minnesota has jumped on board with legalizing adult use cannabis. I was just in Colorado 2 weeks ago. I saw it out there. They don't seem to be having any problem with it. And it's a pretty good sized tax generator. You know, you get a lot of revenue from these things. You are for legalizing and regulating adult use cannabis. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I am supportive of doing that. I really think that after in my first few years in the state Senate, we discussed medical, our access to medical marijuana. And, you know, I had concerns about how that could be implemented in a safe and a regulated manner. And we've done that. And it does help a lot of people. But now, you know, we need to look at legalizing this for recreational use. And I am very supportive of taking the time to, you know, work through the bills that the House has proposed and had, you know, many, many hearings on and discussed all of the issues, you know, regarding regulation, education, you know, how should the things change in the criminal justice system. I think all of those things need to be examined, but the Senate Republicans have really refused to do that work to examine how to implement it. And I think that, you know, Minnesotans who wish to see us move forward on this, you know, we need a DFL majority in the Senate to be taking action on it.
Frankly, we need a Republican Party that's paying attention, because let's make sure we remind everyone the Republicans unintentionally legalized edibles this last session. Yeah. They didn't know what they were doing. So we clearly, I mean, I think the solution here is to get the Democrats in charge, the DFL being in charge. We'd get a lot of good things done. And I think we got a good chance at that this election cycle, particularly because another issue I want to let you just talk about. We had the overturning of Roe v. Wade in June. Republicans are now trying to scream that they're not these extremists when they for 50 years have been screaming how extremist they've been. The reality is there's only, if you want women's health care choices to be the responsibility of the individual woman, there's only one party to vote for, and that's the DFL.
Yes, absolutely. It's what I hear people talk to me about when I'm out knocking on doors. That's the topic that they spontaneously bring up. You know, they want to know, you know, what is my stance on protecting women's rights to their own bodily autonomy. And so it's a key theme of my campaign to be protecting women's access to abortion and all forms of reproductive care. And there are no Republicans in the Senate who have been willing to act on that in that way. And in fact, they've been, over the 6 years they've been in the majority, they've held hearings on bills that would basically made it impossible for providers to provide abortions in Minnesota, and taking votes on those. So there's no doubt in my mind that if they remain in the majority, that they will continue to put forward bills that would take away women's access.
I hate saying this. I mean, this is just me as a voter, which I am in the state. I don't trust them. I mean, the same people who have been part of organizations who have been, you know, very clear that they want to make sure that there is no exceptions, not for rape or interest or the life of the mother, that they basically want nothing like that. Arrest doctors, prosecute women that are coming into the state to try to get services. That when they sit there and they say, I'm a newfound moderate, I just don't trust them, because the reality is out in rural Minnesota, I'm hearing that a lot of the Republicans out there are talking about, no, we're going to overturn Doe v. Gomez, which basically enshrined even further extended laws and rights into the state constitution. That they're going to go after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see any. I mean, if they had been truly interested in addressing, you know, comprehensively women's health care and reproductive care, we would have seen bills that, you know, they would have brought forward that could have taken action on that, and we've seen just the opposite. So the bills that are introduced are I think reflective of the actions that they would take going forward.
Senator, you are the minority leader on that committee. I want to make you the majority leader on this committee, and I've looked at the redistricting. I'm feeling pretty good about the DFL this year. I think there is a legit chance that we can get into these Senate districts. We flip them over. Obviously, you know, you've been a strong leader in the DFL, but there's a lot of districts now that all of a sudden went from fairly reliable Republican to much more reliable Democrat. And I'm hoping that we can get enough of these districts flipped to where you are in the majority position here. I want to get people down to help you in your campaign. Once again, you're just on the east side of Bloomington. It's a gorgeous part of the city. Easy to get to. Richfield, parts of Minneapolis as well. So if someone would like to volunteer for your campaign or donate to your campaign, what's the website they should go to find out more information about it?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, it would be, it's wiklundforsenate.com. So it's W-I-K-L-U-N-D is how you spell my last name. So wiklundforsenate.com. And there's a button to sign up and let me know that you're interested in helping in the campaign on the last 4 weeks now. And also there's a button to donate. We definitely need help getting out and talking to neighbors in the new district about, you know, about the importance of this election and the importance to our democracy, really, to get out and let them know, you know, voting is coming up. You can actually go vote early now. And so we need people to help with that. I'm also helping in other key races, because like you say, there's definitely districts where we're thinking that the changes, you know, are helping us, and we need to help these candidates get the word out about themselves. We have some excellent candidates running across the state. I've been helping with door knocking in Senate District 58. Clarice Graybaugh is running there, and she's running a great campaign. And Senate District 57, Jackie Craig is running a great campaign. And so anything that people can do to help me help them and help me in my own district, it really will make a difference.
Oh, Jackie, I'm a big fan of Jackie as well. I've known her for years, so I'm so glad she's running for Senate. I think it's going to be great. I'm feeling pretty good. That map was a pretty good map for the DFL. At the end of the day, you know, and especially with as mad as a lot of people are about the overturning of Roe v. Wade and taking women's rights, we got to work hard. Everyone has to vote. But if everyone does vote, the DFL is going to win and win, I think, fairly handily in the state. So hopefully that is the case. Wicklandforsenate.com. That's Wicklandforsenate.com. Senator, an absolute pleasure as well to talk to you once again. All my best. And I hope to chat with you as the majority leader coming up here next year sometime.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to talk to you again. Yeah. Thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasures. Senator Melissa Halverson Wickland is Democrat of the Day. Senate District, she's currently 50. She will be Senate District 51 coming up this election. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's interesting when you talk about abortion and the issue. You can clearly see that the Republicans are now trying a new strategy. Was it Michelle Tafoya put out a tweet? She goes, I'm pro-choice, and I'm still voting for, was it Jim Schultz? I can't remember. Jensen?
It was Jensen.
Jensen? Well, then you're not really pro-choice because you're voting for people who are going to make abortion illegal in the state of Minnesota. So you're basically saying my allegiance to the Republican Party overrides my pro-choice nature. You can't, it's not like you're going to be like, hey, now that you've won, let's make sure people have, I'm not going to be listened to. I'm going to be kicked out of the room while you guys make abortion illegal. Okay, I'll just go away now. That's what's going to happen to you. The Republicans are that this is once again, they're taking away your rights. It's just that simple. They are taking away your rights. You can vote right now, by the way. Nothing's stopping you. Anyone can vote right now. Early voting going on in Minnesota as we speak. And I encourage you to do so. Make sure your voice is heard. But the reality is that the Republicans, this is, you know, the reason why they want to talk about anything else. Crime, a charity that stole money, Bernie Sanders. I love, by the way, Pat Garofalo is trying to get like the gotcha moment on a tweet where he says, the optics are bad. He doesn't show the crowd. He shows kind of this empty side of the auditorium. And he's saying, well, the optics are bad. Well, yeah, because you're basically taking it to where you can't see the crowd at all and acting as if there's no one there. That's not how this works. Needless to say, they're all scared because they know that this is hanging over everyone's head. So they've got to lie. Every Republican who says, I'm now pro-choice, is lying. They are lying. They have spent years telling, oh, I'm against all abortions. I want this monstrosity to stop. And the reality is their own party, I mean, we are here in the Twin Cities. In the Twin Cities, you can't find a Republican who remembers what their stance was on the abortion issue in May anywhere. But you go to outstate Minnesota right now, there's a very different narrative being set out there that send me back to St. Paul. Send me into the governor's mansion. I'll make sure no one ever has an abortion ever again in this state. We will make sure that there is no choice for women in this state. That is the rhetoric you're hearing from Republicans in outstate Minnesota. So which one do you believe? Do you believe these, hey, you remember how back in May I was against abortion, but now I'm for it. Yeah. Or the people who are out and that basically are saying that if you keep electing us, we will get rid of this.
It's that simple. It is that simple. Don't believe them. They're lying because they cannot. There is nothing they can say that it can counter the point that they are taking away your rights. They're lying because there's nothing that they can say that counters the fact that they are taking away your rights. If everyone votes, guess what? The Democrats will win. It just is that simple. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. A few other things I want to get into when we get it back from the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Well, this is somewhat disturbing. A group of five people were arrested as they attempted to enter a homecoming football game in Coon Rapids High School on Thursday night. Ugh. Four guns were found in two vehicles linked to the group, so it doesn't sound like they were carrying the guns into the stands, thank God. After staff had raised alarm when the group tried to enter the stadium. It's the latest instance of disruption of high school football games following incidents and disturbances, and in one case, a shooting at a homecoming games in Edina, Richfield, and Brooklyn Park in recent weeks, which has prompted schools to increase security at sporting events. The latest incident unfolded during the game between Coon Rapids and the Andover Huskies Thursday evening, with Coon Rapids police officers providing security for the game at the time. According to the Coon Rapids PD, school district staff denied entry to a small group of men and boys during the first half. None of those in the group were current students at Coon Rapids or any other school in the Anoka-Hennepin County School District, which is kind of what they're kind of limiting there. They're saying no. A witness reported seeing one of the individuals with a gun. Police and school staff escorted the group from the premises. Police initially found three guns in a vehicle in the stadium parking lot. A fourth gun was later found in another vehicle the group tried to leave in before police stopped them there. The suspects were taken into custody without incident. Police didn't say what the group's motives were at the time. In total, two men and two boys were in custody as of Friday afternoon, and a fifth was interviewed and released. The Coon Rapids Police Department has been working collaboratively with the Coon Rapids High School Administration to ensure that we have an appropriate safety measures in place to provide a safe and family-friendly environment for students, staff, and families. Due to the quick actions of concerned citizen, Coon Rapids High School staff, and the officers working the homecoming game, several parties were arrested and guns were removed from the street. We appreciate our community's partnership. We'll continue to prioritize school safety in the community. The case remains under investigation. According to KSTP, I saw this, the guns were ghost guns, which is going to come back. I'm going to talk about this here in a second. They were, you know, guns that were bought and then basically, you know, sold to these individuals, and they're taken off the street. You know, as much as Republicans are going to sit there and say, see chaos! No, this is actually called police work. And congratulations to the staff of the Coon Rapids High School, as well as also the Coon Rapids Police Department, because chaos didn't ensue. As a matter of fact, they didn't allow the people into the stadium. They went, followed them into the car, found the ghost guns, and arrested four people. And mission accomplished. That's called winning. But apparently, I guess Tim Walz should have been patrolling the parking lot. I guess that's going to be their argument. I bring up the ghost guns because I want to make sure I am very clear. I have this year become more and more convinced. Remember Jeff Stein when we had him on one day? This is a few months back. He said you have to find ways to regulate guns that don't include, you know, necessarily outright bans because of this new Supreme Court ruling that basically says you can't ban them. So what can you do? And one of the things that I said at that point, and the more I've been thinking about it, the more I like it, is basically harsh criminal penalties for anyone who illegally sells a gun. And I don't care if he was just trying to give that to Uncle Jimmy. If he wants to sell it, there's a process to do that. And if you're going to do that, then you need to go through the right channels. I don't believe in this idea that we should just have guns, considering the deadly nature of them, slipping between hands left and right without any kind of regulation of them. And as a matter of fact, the more I keep thinking about it, because that's where these guns are coming from. These guns are being bought generally, let's be honest, by white people in Republican areas and being driven into the inner city and sold to minority people on the street for a massive markup. That's what's happening. And it's happening a lot. You talk to people in Chicago, that's people buy the guns in Indiana and drive them into Chicago. So the question would remain, if you were to all of a sudden, if one individual is selling 50 guns that are used in, say, 48 crimes, couldn't we track this back and say, well, if we had just arrested the guy for the guns and they were in jail, wouldn't we have prevented those crimes? Yes. So I think you need to have new laws put into place which have extreme penalties for illegally selling a weapon. And if you're caught having sold that weapon, you're going to jail for 20 years. Because I guarantee you, in every state, if all of a sudden you threw someone who was illegally selling guns in jail for 20 years, especially some white guy from rural America who loves to buy the guns in a conservative part of the country and drive them into the more liberal parts of the country, if all of a sudden that guy is being thrown into jail, all of a sudden you've got what's called a deterrent. And I'm not saying you're getting all the guns, but I guarantee you, you'd get a heck of a lot of guns off the street. I guarantee you, if you dried up the source of the guns, you would get a lot of guns off the street. Which brings us to our fantastic Attorney General, who, by the way, has lost a case as the Attorney General, which is pretty amazing. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison sued Fleet Farm on Wednesday, alleging the firearms dealer contributed to gun trafficking by repeatedly selling guns to straw purchasers in Minnesota. The lawsuit filed in Hennepin County District Court alleges Fleet Farm sold at least 37 firearms to two straw purchasers over the course of 16 months, despite red flags that some buyers were trafficking the guns to criminals and those otherwise prohibited from legally purchasing guns themselves. The AG's office alleges one of those firearms was sold to a straw buyer in the Fleet Farm, later went to be used in the deadly mass shooting at the 7th Street truck park in St. Paul. Like I said, white guys are going to buy the guns, taking them into the city, selling them. They're being used for crime. Why isn't the guy that sold the gun being held accountable on the most utmost level? How come? Why not? They're the ones that are facilitating the crime by giving them the vehicle of carnage that they are using. Gun dealers and retailers have a duty to be the first line of defense against people who try to illegally obtain guns and provide them directly to criminals or blindly resell them for profit on the black market, Ellison stated. But instead of fulfilling their legal obligation to detect and prevent straw purchases, Fleet Farm ignored multiple red flags. They took money from straw purchasers and looked the other way. St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey joined Ellison at the press conference announcing the lawsuit on Wednesday. Is there there isn't a Fleet Farm in the Minneapolis proper or St. Paul proper, is there? Yeah, I can understand why these mayors are a little bothered. People heading to the Fleet Farm in the outer suburbs or in rural America and bringing the guns on in. Another firearm allegedly sold to a straw purchaser at Fleet Farm was later recovered by a 6-year-old child, according to the suit. However, the majority of the guns sold to straw purchasers by Fleet Farm remain unaccounted for. How many of these illegal guns will be used in crimes? The lawsuit asserts claims against Fleet Farm for negligence, negligence per se, negligence entrustments, aiding and abetting, and public nuisance. Ellison is seeking monetary damages, a strengthening of oversight by Fleet Farm's operations, and an increased training to prevent firearm sales to straw purchasers. The two straw buyers named in the lawsuit have been convicted of federal crimes related to the purchases. We strongly disagree with the Attorney General's lawsuit, Fleet Farm shared in a statement. We comply with all applicable gun laws and devote substantial resources to training and compliance. It is disappointing that Attorney General Ellison filed this complaint without ever once talking to us. Oh, he should have come talk to you first, or you strongly disagree with the lawsuit? I'm not quite sure here. It's also worth noting that at the time of the tragic shooting in St. Paul described by the Attorney General's complaint, we were told by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms that our team members had done nothing wrong and complied with all applicable gun laws. The statement continued, we are confident we'll prevail in this matter. The Appleton, Wisconsin-based company operates 17 stores in Minnesota, none of which are in the cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, which my guess would be is a lot of these guns ending up in there. Now, it doesn't necessarily detail a lot of what, you know, what exactly Fleet Farm did wrong. At least I haven't seen anything yet detailing that. I'm sure we will find this out. My guess would be is that there is the same guy walking into a Fleet Farm store and buying a gun once every 2 or 3 days. That should be a bit of a red flag for you, shouldn't it? Don't get me wrong. A guy buys a gun one day? Okay, fine. Guy comes back the next day, buys another gun. Okay, fine. Guy comes back the next day, buys another gun. Okay, fine. Guy comes back the next day, buys another gun. Wait a second here. Are these guns for you? Yeah. Okay. Guy comes back the next day. All right. Okay, wait a second. At that point, I think a retailer should be saying, yeah, we're concerned about how many guns you're buying on a day-to-day basis here. Because it's not like, I mean, there are some things, you know, I know right now, gun kook is out there going, Matt, how dare you? This is the guy that has to go in there and buy a gun every day. That doesn't mean there's something wrong. It's really odd. And frankly, if it was one of those things where they aren't doing anything wrong, I don't think they would be a big problem in contacting the local sheriff and saying, hey, sheriff, I just want to let you know this individual has bought a gun every single day. I don't then have a problem with the sheriff going over to the guy's house and knocking the door. It's like, hey, sheriff, how can I help you? It's like, well, you've been buying guns a lot. Can I actually see the guns really quick? Is it possible for you to show me the guns? Now, they're either going to say, sure, here they are. Or they're going to say, you can't see without a warrant. You got to go get a warrant. Which, big red flag there. Or maybe they'll just be honest. I don't have the guns anymore. I put them down somewhere and they all disappeared. I made a big pile and left them on the dashboard of my car. And boy, I don't know why someone took all the guns. Oh, oops. By the way, I also don't know, I mean, if it would be one of those things, too, where, I mean, stores should be talking to each other. And considering you have to sell a gun to show, I think you have to show an ID to buy a gun in the United States of America, that if a Fleet Farm store out in one part of the metro got a gun sale and they went to the next store the next day in the other part of the metro and had a gun sale, there should be someone as well, not necessarily at the same store, but just in the system saying, wait a minute here, we got a guy that's going at every different fleet. That would be a much bigger red flag. And as a matter of fact, if that was the case, that there was, say, over a 3-week period, one guy went to 8 different Fleet Farm stores and bought an individual gun, that would be a huge red flag. And so the question then, I mean, the question then remains is that, you know, is there any responsibility? I mean, and this will be interesting. Is there any responsibility when you have that, if you're a corporate entity and you're saying, well, we've got a guy who's been in over 20 days, has bought 16 guns at 16 different stores. Is the mentality of keep the sales going? No questions asked. Seems legit to me. Or is the story, I don't think those guns are his. Needless to say, I commend Keith Ellison for doing this. Throw these people in jail. And I don't care if some guy just wants to give Uncle Cletus Grandpappy's old shotgun. Well, then they should go through the process. Even if it's a gift, of transferring ownership of a weapon to that person. It's a lovely gift if you're truly giving something like this. My family was a hunting family. I remember my father had hunting weapons, and they went to my brother, and he took ownership of them legally. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. So I don't think that there's any problem, and I guarantee you it will be interesting. It's been interesting to see how quiet the Republicans are on this, because you can tell this is one of those things where I think the Republicans want to come on out there and criticize Keith Ellison. But if these guns are being sold at Fleet Farm and then they're ending up in the hands of criminals in the city shooting up the city, well, then clearly something is going wrong. And even Republicans can't put their fingers in their ear, close their eyes really tight and scream, "I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you." You see, for Republicans, it's a gray area, because on one side, they want to scream about the crime, but they don't want to actually do anything about the people that are facilitating the crime by just basically pouring a bunch of guns into the city of Minneapolis. In the case of these Coon Rapids kids, two adults and two kids, I guarantee you this, that bust there probably did more to limit, these clown cars going to these football games. Because, if all of a sudden the guns they were going to have, they're all gone because they decided they want to go to a football game, well, then either they're going to leave the guns at home or else they're going to avoid the football game altogether. I think it's a good job what they did up in Coon Rapids, and I think it's a really good job what Keith Ellison is doing right now. And by the way, I do find it funny. It's like, the sign of a losing campaign. Did you see the KSTP poll? I'll tell you what. I'll come back on that in a second here, because I find two things funny about the KSTP poll, that Republicans are desperately trying to turn that into, see, Jim Schultz is winning by 20 points. No, he's still losing by two, but margin of error. But needless to say, I'll talk about that when I do return, plus some music for you. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So once again, KSTP reveals polls that show Democrats, Walz is leading by 10 points over Jensen. And the other races, the Democrat has the lead, but they're within the margin of error. The way KSTP describes it is they're all toss-ups. But I guarantee if the Republican was leading by two in all those races, that they'd be like, Republicans maintain narrow leads in these elections. So because it's all about politics. And remember, Hubbard has a right slant to it. Now, the way Republicans are acting is if they're winning by 20 points. You're still trailing, Ellison, and you still have a guy who's not, and Jim Schultz, who's not ever prosecuted a case in a courtroom, to my knowledge, and he wants to be the attorney general. But it was something someone brought up to me. He said, if you look at the numbers, and I'll go verify this tonight, if you look at the numbers, they polled more Republicans than Democrats. And he said, that can't be right, because I think actually Minnesota has more Democrats than Republicans. So you have a biased result. By the way, even with a 10% margin for Walz, I went and looked. Pew Charitable Trust says there are 39% of the state is registered as Republicans, 46% as Democrats. Now, that was an older poll in 2014. That was 2014. So things have changed. It's 8 years ago. But it's not like all the city people have moved out to the country because they want to be more Republican. The cities have grown dramatically. And that generally means more Democrats. So I got to believe that poll is quite a bit skewed for the Republicans there, which once again still show Democrats leading in all race. There you go.
And I don't want to speak authoritatively, but I think they tried to sample one-third Democrats, one-third Republicans, one-third unaffiliated or independent type people.
And that, I think, is that you're going to get really, I actually think it's much worse for them. And that, I think, I have some questions about that poll. I'll go check it. I'm going to look into it this weekend. Now, it is the weekend. Devil Radio coming up here next, and then, of course, Native Roots Radio in the 6 o'clock hour. From Labyrinth, it's David Bowie. How about Magic Dance? This takes us out. You have a fantastic week and go enjoy the leaves. We are going to be back here on Monday. Until then, see ya. I saw my baby cry before this babe could cry. What could I do?